Coming up on KSDP News, the city of Sandpoint will adopt a new city budget in this June, and a group of Unalakas return to the site of their internment some 75 years after the war. Stay tuned. Good afternoon. You're listening to KSDP 830 AM in Sandpoint. This is Austin Roof with some local news on Thursday, May the 25th, 2017. The city of Sandpoint will have their second reading for their fiscal year 2018 budget in early June at the next city council meeting. In a memo from the city administrator Andy Varner to Mayor Glenn Gardner, it is noted that the only cost changes really will be a 3% cost of living adjustment for city employees, along with corresponding adjustments to the PERS retirement system. Department heads were noted as being very proficient in the way that they spent their money, and the budget also reflects a new entry, the ROC Fund, which will create $45,000 new dollars of revenue for the city, along with $40,000 of expenses, netting $5,000. The FY18 budget will also ask for $71,000 to be transferred from reserves, down $130,000 from the previous year. Raw fish tax is expected to remain flat along with sales tax, but other forms of revenue are projected to grow from $25,000 to $70,000, and interest revenue is up $10,000 from $4,000, thanks in part to investments made by the city through cash deposits. The city of Sandpoint is also discussing creating a permanent fund of sorts to help with future government expenses, which will be covered in future KSDP broadcasts. Also, the Board of Education for the Aleutians East Borough School District met last night. You can check out the audio for that meeting on apradio.org. New research could help wildlife managers better protect declining stellar sea lion populations. As Zoe Sabel of Alaska's Energy Desk reports, the study looks as to why sea lions zero in on specific hunting hotspots.
Knowing where to find food is easy for humans, but for stellar sea lions, biologist Mike Sigler says it's a different story.
I wondered for sea lions what they did when they had to find food. They're not fortunate like humans that they can know where the nearest restaurant or corner grocery store is.
This has been a hot topic for researchers who have watched western stellar sea lion populations decline, hitting a low in 2002. The decline is linked to a lack of food. So Sigler, who works at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, set out to track sea lion's seasonal pattern of foraging in sheltered southeast Alaska. He believes it's probably the only place in the state where this study could have happened because of the harsh conditions in places like the Aleutians, but the conclusions can be applied to other populations. Sea lions are looking for reliable sources of food. Sigler says that's even more important than finding a place that has the most food.
For sea lions, I think what good translates to them as something that's reliable, in other words, it's persistent. Persistence mattered more than how abundant the prey were.
It may seem obvious, but the more consistent prey is in a given location, the more sea lions can thrive there. Understanding that dynamic gives scientists and managers a better idea of the impact temporary fishing closures might have on sea lion populations. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
75 years ago, during World War II, the U.S. government interned hundreds of Anungan people in southeast Alaska's Funter Bay. While officials said they were trying to protect them from Japanese invasion, many people died. Many lived in terrible conditions, and many could never return home. Recently, more than 100 internees and their descendants visited the camp at Funter Bay to raise awareness and to promote healing. KTOO Scott Burton produced this audio postcard from the event.
Tikla Igastada Asaktukukin, St. Paul Island, Unanga, Amaya Lokota Chokcha, my name is Tara Bordakovsky, and I'm from St. Paul Island, Alaska. And I'm Aleut and Lakota Sioux. And I am the granddaughter of Mary Nikolaya Bordakovsky, the daughter of Jason Bordakovsky, both of whom were interned in Funter Bay during World War II.
I'm Ginger Bear. I'm from King Cove. My great-grandmother, Haritina Katsutin, was pregnant when they took her from St. Paul, and she had her baby on the boat on the way over here. And they named her Susan Della, and she died on the way, and they buried her at sea. She was the first person to die during all this.
During the journey, the evacuees were required to stay in the cold and drafty hold of the ship and were not allowed treatment by the doctor on deck. The Aleut people's stay here lasted about 2 years under the supervision of the Fish and Wildlife Service. Approximately 47 people died from the cold, crowded, difficult, and inhumane conditions. Some Fish and Wildlife Service agents were concerned and cared about the people and the conditions and tried to effect changes in the camp, yet others were unsympathetic. Aleut men and women asked to leave the camp to join the war effort over the workforce, but their requests were denied by the agent in charge. While agents were following orders given by higher command, our agents should have acted with more humility and in a more humanitarian manner towards the people of the Pribilofs, their fellow Americans, interned at Funter Bay.
My name is Martin Stepton, and I'm from St. Paul Island. This is my grandma. Her name is Haritina Krukoff. And she was here in Funter Bay during the internment camp, and she was one of the few that are still alive. We're very honored to have her here with us.
Again, we pray for the repose of the souls of the servants of God, Alexander, Lydia, Irene, Pelagia, Pulligan, Sergei, Anna, Constantine.
It's hard. Tears just started coming as soon as we got in the bay here. Just kind of fell to my knees as soon as we got to shore, but I'm glad. Yeah, I think it is healing. We needed this.
My grandmother, Angelina Merkuliev, and my father, Leo Merkuliev, came here in 1942. They were over in the gold mine area across the bay. So preparing to come here, I was reading a lot of history, and my heart was feeling just really heavy. My soul was feeling really heavy. And I asked my father, what do you do with this? These feelings. And he said, you have to move forward with forgiveness. Otherwise, you can make yourself crazy.
You can tune in to KUCB over in Unalaska for next week. They will have more coverage of the 75th anniversary of the bombing of Dutch Harbor and the forced evacuation of the Anungan people. And that is the news here from Sandpoint. Again, Austin Roof, and you're listening to KSDP 830 AM. Find us online at apradio.org, and please stay tuned. We have more great stuff coming your way here with the weather, the community window, and more 80s.